this opportunity to welcome everyone here this evening. And I would ask members of the council, have anyone any disclosures they wish to declare at this time before we begin our council meeting? Councilor Davies.
Yes, thank you. I have a conflict of interest with the back to time.
I'm currently attending.
I have a conflict of interest with the back of time report in that I have a package arrangement with my business.
Sure. That will so be noted. Thank you. Anyone else? If not, if during the course of this particular meeting one finds themselves in conflict, notification to the chair, and we certainly will have the documentation taking place. That brings us, of course, to the minutes of our previous minutes meeting. What's council's pleasure? Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move the minutes be adopted by council and that those confidential minutes of the closed sessions of council remain confidential and restricted for public disclosure in accordance with exemptions provided under the Municipal Freedom of Information Privacy Act. And we both are items 1 and 2, meetings from September 10th, and the second meeting for special meeting on September 10th, 2006.
That motion has been put forward. Is there a supporter for that motion? Councilor Sutton supports that motion. Any discussion relative thereto? Hearing none, all in favor, opposed motion to carry unanimously. That brings us to the delegations we have before us this evening. If you would be kind enough, Brenda.
Our first delegation, Back in Time, Horse-Drawn Vehicle Services, Randy Faison.
I would ask council they can refer to item, the report item number 13-1. Yes, please.
Good evening. My name is Randy Faison, and I own Back in Time Horse-Drawn Vehicle Services here in Amherstburg. I come before council tonight with regards to a letter that was sent to me back in July of this year. It addressed two issues, two bylaws actually, of which I was apparently in breach of. I was made aware of this as a result of a complaint that was taken. Subsequent investigation of the complaint on my part revealed that there was no damage done to King's Navy Yard Park as alleged, and then further to my attention, there was an issue of safety that was brought up with regards to the issuance of this letter and the bylaws. My basic concern before you today is in the bylaw itself, it states in subsection 6, except with the express permission of the council, hereby empowered to grant such permission. In that line, basically what I'm looking for is, I've been doing this now for approximately 5 years, and I've done it without incident, and I've been serving the community and doing public service in my own personal career for over 30 years, and I think I've been doing a pretty good job here in town with the carriage service. I've worked for many special events without incident. I am properly insured. I feel that I'm probably more than qualified to do what I'm doing, and I would like express permission from council to be able to enter the parks of the town of Amherstburg to do this service. I realize that King's Navy Yard Park, it may be a passive park. However, I have been working with the Parks Department for the past few years. They've actually accommodated me by widening some pathways and turns so that I would not cause any damage to the park or interfere with other vehicular traffic such as strollers, wheelchairs, etc. And there are many spots within King's Navy Yard Park where it's wide enough that I can pass on either side or pull off to a side or allow other people to pass on those pathways. There are some narrow spots, I will admit. However, I like to think that I'm a pretty courteous carriage driver, and when I see a conflict arising, I make room. The other aspect of this request is when I come into town on a freelance type of operation, what I mean by that is a non-paid event such as Roots to Boots or River Lights Festival, where I'm being paid by the town. I come into town on weekends when I'm available to freelance, and that is basically where I solicit rides to the general public and tourists that come into our town. This bylaw also prohibits any commercial, section 2 of the bylaw 2002-72 says the park shall not be used for commercial purposes. This literally handcuffs my business, so there's really no way that I can do any further business in town as long as these sections are effective. So if there's any way that back and forth services can be either exempted or allowed to upon certain conditions like proof of insurance and the willingness to abide by certain conditions, I'd be more than happy to entertain them. Otherwise, if I have to adhere to these bylaws as they stand today, I'm literally going to have to move on to another town or just not discontinue any kind of service to Amherstburg. And I think that would be a big step backwards in our big push for tourism here in town. I think I've been really helping out with the tourism side.
Thank you for your presentation. Any comments, questions of council at this particular time? Councillor Puget, if you would.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Through you to Randy. Randy, thank you for the presentation, and I know you are a great ambassador for Amherstburg, and your service is, you know, really widely respected. I know it's very much used, and it's important for our tourism in Amherstburg. But saying that, the council of the day thought it was in the best interest of the public for safety reasons, and that's why they had the bylaw in place. And unfortunately, you know, you have been doing your business in through the park, and people didn't realize, I guess, that it was contrary to our bylaw. My main concern is the safety aspect. And the walkways leading into the park are narrow in some places, as you just stated. And if someone in a wheelchair or pushing a baby buggy or whatever comes and meets you there, you know, we're putting them at danger or at risk. And our job as a council is to ensure that our residents are kept safe. And that's why the bylaw is in place. Saying that, I know that we discussed this, and you thought it was just as dangerous for a dog to be in the Navy Yard Park. And I'm asking you if you could guarantee this council, and I don't think you could, that your horses won't get spooked if, in the event that an offshore racer goes just down the river, or a siren blows, or a squirrel runs right underneath the horses, or a dog gets loose. My main concern, those horses are big, they're beautiful, but they weigh a lot of money, and they could potentially hurt somebody if they get spooked, and especially if there isn't enough room and somebody is right next to them. And I know that you couldn't give us a guarantee that that's not going to happen.
May I speak to this?
Sure you can.
There's no guarantee for anything. And I understand your point, but there are a couple arguments that I have to that. First of all, this what-if situation you're speaking of, first of all, hasn't even taken place. There hasn't been an incident yet. Secondly, if there ever is an incident, and I can tell you right now, my horses have experienced the offshore racer, the sailboats, the loose dogs, the squirrels, cannon fire, gunfire, and we've successfully made it through all of that. If there ever is anything like that, I am a fully insured commercial, professional business. I'm not a kid on a bicycle riding through the park, running someone off the pathway that doesn't hold insurance. They can sue the city because some kid that was breaching the bylaw on a bicycle forced them off the road, or someone with a big dog that broke its leash that doesn't carry insurance. bit someone in the park and came after the town. I understand the town's concern for insurance and for liability. But my business is something that brings a benefit to this town. It's not something that's a deterrent in any way, shape, or form. It's not something that's discouraged. It's encouraged, if anything. I could be like the speeder that gets caught on the street and said, why don't you go catch some other criminals? I could tell you 20 or 30 different things that happen in Kings Navy or Park that are in breach of these bylaws on a daily basis. I go there on weekends. I'm professional. I'm courteous. I'm respectful. And I'm fully insured for any incident that'll take place up to $2 million. And the town is also part of that insurance policy. I can assure you that safety is of utmost importance in my job. Last Friday night, when I was granted permission to be inside Kings Navy Yard Park by the town for purposes of giving out-of-town guest rides, that the minute it started to drizzle and create visibility obstructions for vehicular traffic, and it started to get dark, I pulled the plug and said, no, safety's an issue now. I'm packing up and going home. So you have to understand something. We could play what if all day. What if a tree falls and hits somebody? The town's liable. What if anything happens? I'm just asking for an exemption for my horse and carriage business, not anyone else's. I've proven myself here in town for years now without incident. All I'm asking for is that special permission under that section of the bylaw.
Anyone else with council? Councillor Pion, followed by... Did you have a follow-up, Councillor Puget?
Yes,
go ahead.
Thank you. And I understand you're saying what ifs, but that's what council does. They put together bylaws to ensure what ifs, that what ifs don't happen. And that's why that bylaw is in place. And the second part of it is that you just mentioned you're asking for an exemption for you. But what happens if we have another gentleman that comes along or a lady that has a similar business and they want an exception too?
They have to come before council, just
and
like I am.
Right.
No cross, I understand, go ahead.
And they might not be, their horses might not be as manageable. But if we say yes to you and no to them, that puts council in a very bad situation. And that's the point I want to make.
Councillor
Pino. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I got to tell you a little story. I was over to Mackinac Island this summer, and you talk about horses in the community. I mean, they're one after another. They're crossing the roads, and you know what? But
are they in the park, Councillor?
Oh, they were going everywhere. Down the streets, they're going all over. But you know what? Horses do adapt to the area. And this gentleman's doing that, you correct me if I'm wrong, for 5 years now? Has it been coming in? Has it been going in the Navy Yard Park for 5 years?
2 or 3 years.
Two or three?
4 years.
With no incidents? No, we've had no incidents.
Probably Jones Park, Centennial Park.
Yeah. You know, and there is path. Can I ask you, you don't run on the grass, correct?
I have been on the grass to deliver a bride to a wedding in the gazebo on 2 or 3 separate occasions, but I will not disturb the turf if it's freshly rained on or if it's soft.
Yeah.
I'm fully respectful of the park.
Well, you know, I think if this town wants to be a tourist town, we have to look at some situations and make exemptions. And I think this is one that this bylaw 2002-72 needs to be revisited in order to allow this to be a community that wants to have tourism. Yeah, but if council don't want tourism, trust me, that is a drawer. That brings people here. The kids that live in the city never see horses, so they like coming out here, I'm sure, and it all helps. But I'm in favor of trying to work with the gentleman, work with our bylaw, and coming up with something that would be compatible for everybody.
Thank you, Councillor Phelan. Councillor Sutton, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree there's no way to eliminate the risk totally. It becomes a matter of whether we can manage the risk. I remember well when we were trying to put in the roadway that was the best means of ingress and egress to the Salmoni building and the hullabaloo that caused. And there was a lot of talk about worry about vehicular traffic and pedestrians peacefully coexisting within our passive park. And there were points made on both sides that made a lot of sense. But at the end of the day, I think we've got to look for solutions. Mr. Faison has proven himself that he respects the park, that there's been no damage caused, that he has proper insurance, and I think with some clear guidelines in place, we can have a workable solution. I like the idea of limiting him to the pathways. I don't like to see vehicles on the grass in there. I think one's judgment can always come into play with another's judgment in terms of when it's feasible to be on that grass and when it's not, and that could cause us all kinds of heartache. But pedestrians and vehicles know, especially slow-moving vehicles, know how to peacefully coexist on walkways. And I agree with Councillor Pilon. I'm willing to look at the bylaw and try and come up with a solution that makes sense for all concerned, because I really do think it has a benefit for the town, for the tourism push we put on, and for residents and non-residents alike.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland, followed by Councillor DePasquale.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. The previous two speakers have captivated what I was going to say in essence. However, I'd like to just point two things out. I, too, have been in other major cities in North America, and every one of them have horse-drawn carriages for rides, I mean, whatever. And I'm sure there are incidents, but they're taken care of and insurances cover it. But the second thing, and even more important, and both Councillor Sutton and Councillor Pilon alluded to it, we are promoting this area as a tourist attraction. And to that end, it's in our tourist guide. So I think we'd be slapping ourselves in the face if we do not allow him to continue in his non-obtrusive way of bringing tourists to this town. And he's going to get my vote.
Councillor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think everything's pretty well been said. I do agree with the tourism and the attraction. I know Randy personally. I've known him for a number of years. He has been responsible. There's no doubt about that. I think we have to prepare for our future. It looks like it's going to be tourism. And he does bring a large number of people in. Weddings are beautiful. The only little thing I'd like to get in there, and I agree that we should try to come to a compromise here, is if even he would have to get like a permit or just permission from the town, letting us know when he's going to be in there so that there's no conflicting, so we have some communication and go from there.
Councillor Cougier.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Just for a point of clarification, I did not have any objection to Randy having his horse and buggy on the streets of Amherstburg. I thought that was a wonderful thing that he was doing to our community. And as for Councillor Pilon's statements, I too have been on Mackinac Island, but there are no cars there. So they just coexist with bikes and they're on roads and they're not in parks.
Anyone else at this time?
I have a recorded vote, please.
Yes, a recorded vote has been asked for. I think one of the things that we have to look at, yes, we're interested in tourism. Tourism is very important to Amherstburg. But to draw tourism into Amherstburg sometimes, we have to be careful of how we're suggesting we're going to get tourism. I'm talking about the Navy Yard Park. And certainly when you suggest for a moment that 90% of your business revolved around providing tours through the Navy Yard Park, the historical section of Amherstburg, along the pathways inside our parks, and not being able to operate that, you're suggesting would cause you to cease your operations. The problem I have with it, a couple of things, and one is, understand very clearly that the Navy Yard Park and the pathway closest to the river, they were obstructed because we used to have flower beds in there, and we removed them flower beds for one reason, to allow easier access for people that are walking down there. I'll say very clearly, I said, people, you participate and still bring your horses, because I think it adds a lot of amenities to our community, and at the same time, you've got to understand what council is looking at, because by and large, council is looking at, you can't say, what if. We have to do our due diligence before anything else is done. And because it's been going on for X amount of years, and many times, things are going on in this community for a long period of time, nobody realizes until a complaint is put forward, and then we have our people in place that will go and investigate and figure out exactly what has transpired, and if it's in contravention of the bylaw, then of course the needed actions are taken. But that's a congested area. People walk through that park, and I say, my goodness, sure, take the area in our community, go on our streets, and go through the historical section and all of that. But I really believe in the Navy Yard Park. That's a place where if you want to go in there, you disembark from your carriage or you do whatever, and then walk through the Navy Yard Park. And that is a very big concern, and I can understand why people feel that particular way. And a record of vote has been?
We don't have a motion.
You know, have you got a motion on by this council, please? Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion that our administration meet with Mr. Fasson and see if we can come to some sort of even grounds, and with looking at our knowledge and when he's going to be in there and walking the horses through the park.
Let's support it for that motion.
I'll support that for discussion.
Councilor Deputy Mayor Sutherland supports that motion. Go ahead, on the motion. On the motion.
Yes, I'd like that motion reread, please.
Yeah, I typed what was said. The administration meet with Mr. Fasson and come to even ground, looking at our knowledge and when he's going to be in there.
That's the motion. On that motion, all in favor?
It's a recorded vote.
They haven't been a recorded vote.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That motion. If you want to record it, you
can.
No,
no, no. I thought Diane had done that.
On the motion. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
Wait.
Yes.
I think we need a subsequent motion to it to address the bylaw.
Excuse me.
Oh, sure.
That motion was put on. You could have entered a friendly amendment to that or whatever. You failed to do that. You agreed with that particular motion. Now, if you want to introduce another motion, Councilor Pilon, feel free to do so.
That's what I just said. Well, I'd like to introduce a motion to have bylaw 2002-72 go back to administration and come up with something comparable for the back in time horse carriage to be able to work and be in concurrence with the bylaw.
The thing you've got to understand is that clause is already in there. That clause is in there.
I didn't get it out of that.
Yes.
If it's there, okay.
Section 6, that clause is actually there so that you can grant express permission to him to be able to operate in there. That's already part of the bylaw.
Part of this bylaw.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's why Mr. Fasson is requesting express permission to continue to operate
in
the parks.
That's good.
That was his request.
Yes.
Before you.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
Perfect.
So this motion has been called. Okay.
Yeah.
On this motion.
Yeah.
On the motion.
Just a point of clarification. Why didn't we have a recorded vote on it?
It wasn't requested.
I did request it. There's no motion on the floor.
You requested before a motion, and I said it to you very clearly. You had to do it for the motion. There wasn't no motion then at the time. That's all. Okay? Yep.
Motion to receive the delegation.
Sutherland? Is there a support for that? Deputy Mayor Sutherland, all in favor? Carried. Thank you.
Brings us to presentation 6.1, Auditor's Financial Statements. Lindsay Rounding, Graham Setterington, McIntosh, Dredger, and Hicks.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and fellow councilors. As you can see, I'm here to present the 2010 financials. If you have sat on council before, you may notice they look different than what you've received in the past. In the past, you typically get a version that we call our good version on our paper and in a bound copy. These are in draft right now. They're in draft because it's up to council, who has oversight over management, to approve these financials. That's a change from our institute, from what you're used to. So there's nothing that is alarming of why they're in draft. It's because that's now our procedure. So I'll go through my presentation, but what I anticipate or what we're going towards for the end here result is that after the presentation, you would approve these financials. They would then be running good and dated as of today's date when council approves them. Okay? Okay. So these are going to be dated September 24, 2012. I'm sure there is some concern as to the date of 2012 and September for 2010 statements. There has been some delays in these statements, clearly, resulting in the Treasury Department from some staff absences that I know you are all aware of. So basically, we worked with the staff when they were ready and came in. We came in at numerous points just to bring it up to date and help them out. They did actually go through a lot more of this process than the year before and get it to the final state. So it was a bit of a learning curve, because for those of you who were here for the 2009 presentation, I went through an elaborate presentation because the statements had changed from modified equity accounting to now this full accrual. Before, they were like a fund accounting. You've seen the current capital reserve funds. Now you see an accumulated surplus when you look at the financial position. These statements have now been mandated to be like this to make them more comparable to other entities out there, okay? So that was a big learning curve in 2009, because TCAs had to be put on to the statements, and I know we talked about this before, so that was the whole process of inventorying everything that Amherstburg owns. And now it's an ongoing process. So the staff is doing a lot more accounting work than in the past, because they're having to still maintain a fund accounting system on their computers, because that's what you budget for with your budget, and then they get restated to be these statements that have to be presented in this format because of our institute. Okay, so there's two systems going on here. So I'll start going through the statements, but I just wanted to touch on why we're here now. Okay, so as well, I think in your package there is a report from the budget supervisor on some variances. Am I correct? This council report, would this be in the package?
Yep.
Yes? Okay, thank you. Okay, so Ivan went through and highlighted some of the variances. That relates more to the statement of operations, so I'm going to highlight some changes in addition to his report. So your first page should be the consolidated statement of financial position. So page 4. This statement basically summarizes all of the assets and liabilities and the accumulated surplus of the town. The financial assets are those that provide resources and discharge the liabilities that you see here. And the difference between the assets and liabilities makes the surplus. I caution that that surplus number that looks pretty nice, the 188 million there, that's not money to spend. That is a number that encompasses a lot of figures, and in there that's contributing mainly to the fact that it is positive is your tangible capital assets. If you look up a couple lines, you can see they're sitting at about 241 million. That's your roads, that's your sewers, that's your land, buildings, machinery equipment, all of that, okay? So that's the gross amount that you spent, and then we depreciate them over their useful life. So that's what's mainly contributing to that accumulated surplus, okay? You can see that the financials here, the cash is up comparatively. That's as a result of the bank indebtedness being up. And as well, there was a surplus this year comparatively to the year before. You had a big year in 2010 with some capital projects. You had your sports complex and as well the wastewater treatment plant. So that was a lot of investment by the town of Amherstburg. As well, you received a lot of grants, but you also had to kick in your portion. So that's what's resulted with the cash there. The taxes and grants in lieu, they're up a little bit. That's more because the rates went up slightly. Trade and other receivables, that looks quite a bit higher. That's because at that point in time, there was about $1.5 million in HST, the recoverable portion of the ITCs from capital expenditures of those two big projects mainly that I just mentioned. And also the remainder is mainly the grants that you were waiting on at that point in time for those two big projects. They're basically what's gonna cause most of the variances here. As for the other items, there's not much change in the assets aside from the long-term investment with the hydro system. That's your Essex Power investment. That continues to go up by the Essex Power income, and it's offset by whatever dividends get issued to you from Essex Power. So your total assets are sitting at about 24 million. Now that's your total financial assets because we still have the TCA and prepaid expense component. Your liabilities, as I touched on, the bank indebtedness is up. There's about, at that point in time, $17 million in construction loans for the sports complex and the wastewater plant that got converted to long-term debt in 2011. So at this point in time, there are now long-term debt instruments. Accounts payable and accrued, the majority of the reason why this is up is because of the holdbacks on those construction projects that we touched upon with the sports complex and the wastewater treatment plant. And interest on debt, not much change there. It's up slightly because of those bridge loans for those two projects. The municipal debt, you can see that Amherstburg made quite a bit of a payment towards getting that down and didn't issue any new debt in 2010. Employee benefits payable, that's comes from the Aon report. And then it's not much change with deferred. So your total liabilities are about $76 million, which comes to a net financial debt. Your TCAs, as we touched upon, that's the accumulation of all those assets that Amherstburg has, and it's mainly gone up because of those two projects that we just keep talking about. And so your accumulated surplus is close to $189 million. Not money to spend, mainly tied up in your assets. If we can go to the next page. Your consolidated statement of financial activities. I'm not gonna go through this one in detail because Ivan has done a really good job summarizing the variances in that report that I just mentioned that's in your package there. Interesting enough, the variances from what you budgeted on the expenses, for instance, $591,000, we're comparing that to a budget of $26 million. So we're talking 2%, a 2% variance on your expenses, which is very low. Now, as for your revenue, the variance there was $35,000. That's less than 0.5%. So again, very low variance on your operational revenue and expenses. Your main swing is your capital projects with the sports complex and the wastewater treatment plant. That's causing a lot of the swinging you're seeing comparatively. Okay, your next page there, this the consolidated statement of change in net debt. Pages scan in here, but you have the package in front of you. Sorry about that. That provides a reconciliation of the annual surplus to the change in net debt, so the prior two statements. The next page is your cash flow. It's an analysis of the changes in the cash position of the municipality when looking at it through an operating, investing, and capital standpoint. There weren't any significant changes in your notes to your financials. Last year, I know we went through this extensively because there's a lot that pertained to the tangible capital assets. Those notes are still the same. Your policy still has to be stated in the notes, but there's nothing that I feel like I need to highlight compared to last year. The one note that I would like to touch upon is note 12, which I believe is page 20 in your package, I'm hoping.
We don't have that.
Well, I have one copy, which isn't going to be very beneficial for everyone right now.
Could you make copies of this?
Just go ahead with this note right now. It's not too confusing, but we'll make sure you get to look at it before I leave the table. It pertains to the budget. Now, as I touched upon, you're still budgeting under a modified accrual system, and that's necessary for tax purposes to determine your tax rates. But for the financials, it has to be restated to form a PSAP. So there's a note that I wanted to point out that I will when it comes back, showing the reconciliation. So if you were to pull out your budget that you approved for 2010 and compared it to the financials that you have in front of you, you'll notice differences. The only reason is because it has to have the adjustment for amortization and the capital items. Nothing else has changed, and you're still doing your budget process properly. That's what other municipalities are doing, but this has to happen for accounting purposes.
And we're going along, if there's any questions of council, by all means raise it.
Yep.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. And this goes back to the page 5 that you gave us while we're waiting for the other. And it is the net revenue deficit. And it's, could you please explain to me the unaudited one and the, is it the actual 2010?
Yes.
And it appears to be $2,400,000 off.
Okay. Then that's a very good question. The budget column there that says unaudited, that comes from the budget that you approved back for 2010. We don't audit the budget, okay, so that's why it says unaudited. Now when you compare it to the actuals, that second column that you're speaking about, we audit those numbers. So it's important to look at this by comparing those two, because obviously you guys have gone through the process of determining your best guess at these numbers, right? So although this is helpful, it's been restated, okay, to conform with our accounting policies, so it has amortization in there, which you're not budgeting for. So Ivan's report, when he did it up, he compared what you approved to what the actuals are without those TCA components, and it's a much easier read when you're looking at this statement of financial activity to look at this report, okay? Because your variance is only about 600,000. It's not 2 million. That 2 million that you see there is because of the capital items you're purchasing and amortizing and expensing, okay? So it's all related to TCAs, which you're not budgeting for.
They're just based on a guest estimate at that time?
Yes, yes. And again, it's important to look at this report that you have, that you also have in your package, because your best guess, for instance, for the operating expenses for the 2010 budget was $26,395,000. And it came in at $26,986, so there isn't much of a variance, okay? So it's very hard to compare when you're looking at what you're used to with the budget and this budget, because this has been restated.
Councilor Sutton?
If I may, Mr. Mayor, Council might want to refer to the Ivano's report that's in our consent agenda, where he outlines the actual budget to actual difference without the amortization factored in as a figure of $591,100. And then he breaks it down into several bullet points explaining where that variance was caused from. And as our auditor has stated, that represents less than 2% of a $26 million budget. So it's not that alarming at all. In fact, it's in keeping with common accounting practices and a pretty healthy statement of the fact that Amherstburg takes care of its finances as well.
Anyone else? If not, you may continue.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so until those statements come back, I'm just going to move forward. So next component, obviously you see this component of our audit, the financial statements. I just want to make sure everybody's on the same page when we talk about an audit. We come in a couple, basically about 3 weeks of the year, and we come in and we determine the risky areas of the municipality, okay? So
I think we should know this has never changed. It's been going on for some time.
Oh, yes, for sure. I'm just making sure everybody's, yes, for sure. So risky areas being like where you're collecting cash, those type of things where it's easier for situations to happen. So we sit down with the treasury staff, go through their different streams, so payroll, receipts, disbursements, okay? We get an understanding of what they're saying they're doing, and then we do some testing, okay? So we get an idea of the controls that are in place here, because as you know, the treasury staff, they're working every day in here, right? So this is just the end result. So there's two components to the audit, the controls and this, okay? So I just wanna make sure we're all under the understanding that that's what our audit encompasses. And that's what any financial statement audit encompasses. Now, to jump forward a little bit, I just wanted to let everybody know, in case they're not aware, that we were in here the week of September 10th to start the 2011 audit, okay? And we are here next week to also work on the 2011 year-end audit. Thank you. So staff has been diligently working to try to catch up with this financial reporting. I know their plan is to get the 2011 out before the end of the calendar year. Okay, so, and they are working towards it because I've been talking to them recently, and so that's the goal, and they're hoping to catch it up. To try to put people's mind at ease with the timeline, we had a municipality in the county last year that was behind 2 years. And we did their 2009 audit. I came before council in September, and I came back to do their 2010 presentation in December. So it's definitely doable. And I know your staff's striving to get this caught up so that it's easier for them even on an ongoing basis. Okay, now that everybody has the complete package, sorry about that. If you wouldn't mind going to page 20, I just want to show you about this budget reconciliation. Note 12. This shows your, there's basically the three columns of numbers. It shows the budget that got passed, okay? And then it shows the change. The change column is the reconciliation for those PSAB slash TCA numbers. And then it shows the restated column, which ties into those financials that we were just talking about. Okay, So again, it's much easier when you're looking at a variance between budget and actual to look at the report that Ivan provided for you. Because as you can see, there's quite a swing when you put in the TCA component. I'm not sure if anyone else has any questions for me while I'm here.
They do, certainly recognize Councilor Puget.
Could I please ask for clarification regarding what...
Have you got your mic on?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Regarding what Councilor Sutton was referring to, he said that we were pretty well in line regarding 2%.
Okay.
It's on page 168 on your package. It's if you take a look at the agenda package, it's page 168.
And that's the report that Ivan has provided with the variance to the budget that got approved by council, okay? So when you take the difference and you divide it by what actually happened, it's only 2%. So that's what he's referring to.
Okay.
And do you know what that amount is?
The total? Yeah. He actually breaks it down by various line items, and he also explains why it came about, that there were several variables. I can go through this if you want, but there's about 10 different items that make it up.
I just need the total amount.
It's $591,100. And that's on operating expenses, which is mainly where the variance is coming from.
Okay. Any other questions of council? Councilor Davies, if you would.
Yeah, just for clarification on the numbers. So when in the percentage used column, it says 102%, that means 100 plus 2% greater. So
yes.
It's 2% that we're
exactly
looking at.
Yes,
okay.
It's not 102, yes.
No.
Okay. On the auditor's statement, Councilor Sutton.
I think it's important, Mr. Mayor, to highlight some good news items, and Lindsay touched on them herself in terms of the overall budget control that's in place and the fact that, we made a substantial decrease in our debt as well as the investments we've made, and that we didn't issue any new debt as well. And, sometimes those things get lost in the minutia of details, and definitely when you start throwing around things like tangible capital assets and PSABs and everything else into the sun, it's really easy to get confused and center in on one little thing and think, oh my goodness, there's some bad news there. Actually, there's some really good news here. We're catching up. We're going to get 2011 done by year end. And the bottom line is that we're managing our assets well, and we're coping with the changes that are involved in having two different accounting streams now. And that wasn't easy for Treasury to adapt to. And as our auditor alluded to, other municipalities in the county have been behind because of that as well. So overall, I think we can walk away with some assurance that we're getting our finances as always in order. And we're doing a good job as council and administration working together on keeping our budget to actual as close as possible.
But in all of that being said, you've got to understand there was significant investment made by
yep.
the council of the day to look at what is necessary to maintain or get this community to move forward and become for stability. I mean, when you talk about an undertaking such as our United Communities Credit Union complex out there, that was a significant undertaking, along with the fact, understanding we were successful in getting close to $16 million from the two senior levels of government. And then when you look at the step that we have taken for our wastewater treatment plant that had been there for back in the early 70s, then it was primary treatment, and by that it was simply we had our combined sewers, and every time it rained, capacity would be reached, and we would discharge our overflow into the Detroit River, the water of which we were drawing to make drinking water out of it. So we took those initiatives, and those are the things that you want to understand and appreciate, because we have now, we're going to have our wastewater treatment plant, state of the art, and it's going to serve the needs of this particular community for the next 35 years. And so that's important to developers and investors alike who are looking for at Emmitsburg as a place to come in and do business. And so we don't want to lose sight of that very fact. And that's a very valid point you made, Councillor Sutton. On the auditor's statement, Councillor Pion.
I move that council receive the presentation and approve the auditor's financial statement as presented.
There's support for that. Councillor Sutton supports that. Further discussion, if any? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed? It's carried unanimously. Thank you ever so much.
Thank you.
Next item.
That brings us to reports under Recreation, Culture, and Parks 7.1, Ontario Regulation 39711, Energy Conservation and Demand Management Plans.
Councillor Sutton.
I'll move the report and the recommendation.
Motion to receive and to move the recommendation, supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. Further dialogue? Hearing none, all in favor? So the motion again is carried unanimously.
Item 7.2, Kingsbridge Park, play surface upgrades and accessible sidewalk.
Councilor Pleasure, Councilor Pino.
Thank you. I move council receive the report and also that further council approve the additional funding of $18,000 towards the upgrade of the existing construction plan to proceed to provide the additional of an accessible surface to the playground.
There's support for that motion that's on the floor. Councillor Davies supports that motion. Further discussion at this time, Councillor Sutton, Councillor Deputy Mayor Sutherland, Councillor Pouget, Councillor Davies, Councillor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mine's just a very quick comment. I appreciate the thoroughness of the report and the cost of analysis in terms of the benefit of installing the surface now as opposed to what it would cost to maintain a surface that's not even adequate. So that made a lot of sense to me, especially when we start talking about accessibility standards. Not only now, but moving forward, I think this is a worthwhile investment and certainly something that our residents deserve. So I'm in full support.
Deputy Mayor?
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I just have a question regarding the recommendation in there, in that the additional funding of $18,000, I'm just trying to find it where it says here. On here is funding be debentured. Does that have to be in the motion, or is that just going to be automatically applied? It's not in the recommendation.
The additional $18,000.
Yeah, that is. But further in the financial implications in the report on our jump drives, it states that it's to be debentured over that period of time of 15 years.
So
rather than just a cost over or an overrun.
I didn't make my motion towards that.
I'm looking for for discussion.
Well, I think he's asking a question. The deputy mayor is asking a question. Does it mean it's going to be over the 50 years?
Yes,
debenture?
That's what
he's asking. That is the administration's recommendation to debenture it over the 15 years.
Okay, so that'll take place without
Correct.
Being in the motion.
Correct.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much.
But I think for that part it means that you get people moving and it'll carry over so that everybody gets are paying for.
Right. I understand.
Councillor DePasquale, I think it was.
Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple words. I see our chair of the president of our accessibility committee is here.
Yeah.
And they went out and looked at the park and they gave Tony some good recommendations. I think it's a great step in the right direction and starting to make our park more accessible. Thank you.
I think we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that this has been a long time coming.
Oh.
I never had gray hair when we started talking about this. So how long it's been. The kids that were kids back then are now in high school, for goodness sake. And so I think it's something that we need to get done with, and it's an important factor. And when you do it right. And I appreciate the report, and certainly those findings that you have put forward, Tony, is going to, of course, serve that particular area for many, many years. Councilman Pujic.
Thank you. My questions have been answered.
Councilor Davies, your questions have been answered also?
Not quite, but almost. I just wanted to make the other point. I think this is an amazing find to have this this material, because, in fact, it may mean that we can move forward with a lot of other places, and I may reduce the number of little scuffed knees and ankles and noses when little guys go tumbling. So I think we're actually improving our safety for all the children as well. So I think it would be great to be able to have this for other projects as well, and I want to thank your discovery.
I think you should also be mindful, Tony, that if it don't work, you know. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Next item.
Item 7.3, Development of Naming Committee.
Council's pleasure relative to that report. Councilor Pasquale.
I move that the report by Dean Culver, dated September 13, 2012, regarding the development of a naming committee be received, and Council authorize the formation of an advisory committee to be known as the Commemorative Naming Committee. The Council approve the Commemorative Naming Committee terms and references presented, and further that Council appoint a member of Council to this advisory committee.
Could you, if you want to name somebody in the motion to be appointed?
No, I don't. I wouldn't mind being on that.
Okay.
Is that okay?
That's fine with me.
I'll support that motion.
Doesn't even have the motion been supported by Deputy Mayor Sullivan and Councillor DePasquale have been named as the representative of council.
Right.
On the motion.
Perfect.
Further discussions? Councillor Pujic.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. And I know it's been discussed, and I just can't remember. Will they be bringing this back to council for approval once they decide on naming a complex or whatever you're naming? Will that come back before council, and then will council make the final decision, or will it be the naming committee that makes the final decision?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. In researching this, it came up with several policies, all of which have council having final approval over any naming. At this point, what I would say is that the recommendation I'm making is to create a committee which would then develop the policy. My assumption is that policy would then have a caveat that would have it going back to council, but I would be premature saying that at this point that's the intention, because that wouldn't be my intention, it would be the committee's intention.
Yeah. And of course, council would be looking at that being a recommendation, recommending committee coming back with a recommendation to this particular body. Okay? Yes. On the motion. Yes, Councilor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to mention, and I wanted to commend Dean, because I know he's put a lot of work into this, and he's done a great job. And he talked to me about it a little bit, and he came up with some good things. And this first part, I think, is more of a foundation to be able to expand this policy as the town grows.
Sure.
And other things.
Well, we revisited on many terms and many times, I'm sure. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Next item.
Item 7.4, Culture Day, Plain Air Society at King's Navy Yard Park.
On the report, again, with council's pleasure, Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move the report from Dean regarding the Plein Air Society of King's Navy Yard Park be received, and further that the Plein Air Society be permitted to conduct a gathering of artists for a painting session at King's Navy Yard Park as per bylaw 2004-89, section 3.
You're supportive of that? Councilor Sutton supports that motion. Further discussion? All in favor? And that's carried unanimously. Are they going to be in the park? Are they going to be on the trail? They won't be on the trail painting when that horse comes by, are they?
Be chalk art.
Right. I'll make sure of it.
Okay.
That brings us to reports under development services 11.1, request for council resolutions to support large scale rooftop solar fit contracts.
Fit contracts with council pleasure. Councilor Sutton.
I'll move receipt of the report and all the resolutions listed.
There is support for that. Councilor Davey supports that motion. Further dialogue? All in favor? So did you want to say something?
I did. But I wasn't passing. I just, I'm wondering with this, if there's any way.
On this motion.
On this motion. Because it's not mentioned in here, but when we were at the AMO, there was a lot of discussion about other directions when you do these projects, such as whether or not, right in this, it just talks about the money that we would make by the charging to do it. But what about royalties? Why couldn't the town benefit to some degree by the amount of electricity that they can sell to the grid from that, versus it all going? It's like other amenities, so, you know, gold mines. It all goes to offshore, and the town doesn't benefit. You know, with coal, it all goes off, and the town doesn't benefit. Lumber, it all goes off, and the town doesn't benefit, other than the direct jobs that are incurred. And I'm just wondering if there's an opportunity for us to look at a very small royalty that we could benefit from that would come back to the town so that we could develop other things. It's just a thought.
I think maybe direction might be given to explore that particular aspect of it, I think, and then we could, administration then can report back to us.
Would that be part of?
I would suggest.
So a friendly amendment?
You can put a friendly amendment to it.
So I would like to make a friendly amendment that the administration explore an opportunity to access royalties from any sites that partner with the private sector on these projects.
Are there a supporter for that amendment? Councillor Sutton supports that. On the amendment, all in favor of the amendment? Opposed? It's carried. On the motion, all in favor? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Yes.
Mr. Mayor, could we, or could I ask that if we move item number 16.1 up to be dealt with next, as I see that the proprietors of Ranta Marina are here, and rather than make them wait till basically the end of the meeting, could we do that now?
Yep.
Thank you.
We can. Why don't you move it? Why don't you move it at this time, Councilor?
May I? Okay. Thank you. Then I will move the report by Nicole Rubley, and further that the clerk be authorized to advise the Alcohol and Gaming Commission of Ontario Council support for the application. If there's a supporter, I'd like to ask some questions to them.
There is supporter. Councilor Davey supports that motion. Further discussion on that motion, Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Rick, if I could just ask you a quick question. It says an application for a new liquor license for indoor and outdoor areas. Can you let me know what the outdoor areas are that you're talking about? Not where my boat sits, I hope, but...
No, it's when the flats are up. That's considered outside.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I knew it was something simple. I just wanted... Well, somebody's going to ask me, I know.
Yeah.
So, okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously. That'll bring us back.
That brings us back to 11.2, Countywide Active Transportation Master Plan, August 2012.
Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move that report be received and further that Council endorse the updated CWATS Master Plan dated August 2012 in principle and so notify the County of Essex.
There is support for that. Councillor DeConsquale supports that. Motion, discussions? If not, all in favor? Motion is carried unanimously.
11.3, bylaw to regulate the emissions from solid fuel burning appliances installed in buildings.
Council's pleasure relative to that. No, Council's got no pleasure. Councilor Davey, are you?
One of my thoughts.
Did you want to speak? I didn't see your hand go.
I wasn't. I was being prodded.
Oh, okay.
But one of my thoughts was I've read this over very carefully, and there's been a lot of discussion on it. And the report makes some important arguments about the complexity and the expense that the town would go to. I've looked at the lawyer's comments as well, and I'm wondering if it would make sense if administration explored having a formal policy. So if a complaint comes in, and I know we've not had a complaint in a very long time, there's just a formal policy that states how we would go about it, i.e., in this report it's suggested that it be a civil matter, and it might be useful if that's the first step that we're going to go to, that we have a protocol to be able to provide to a complainant to proceed to civil, to deal with a civil matter, versus just stepping back and saying it's not our problem, to say proactively, here's the directions that you can go if you want to do this. I realize the MOE, provincially the Ministry of Environment, has standards under this, but if the town can provide guidance and direction for complainants, and it follows within these guidelines, then they have a course that they can take.
Steve, would you want to respond to that?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, any complaint that comes in, whether it be with respect to emissions, whether it be with respect to another agency that is involved, such as OMAFRA, MOE, we always forward that complaint ourselves to the MOE or to whatever agency is involved in that. And we also indicate to the complainant that they should also contact the authority that has the jurisdiction when there's a complaint of something other than what we might regulate.
Yeah.
We're discussing this report. There's no motion or anything that's been made.
But what Councilor Davey was asking for is if there was some way we could give some direction, and then of course a policy could be in place where there's a protocol that would, in the event a complaint came forward, then of course rather than just going like this, you could say here's a procedure that could be implemented in this particular case. Any further discussion? Councilor DeConsuola.
Can we discuss?
Of course, it's on the floor here. That's what it's for.
There were 5 points made by the solicitor, and they're noted on the report. There are a number of sources in the regulation with respect to the emissions of contaminants, open burning emissions, and noxious gases. There are a number of sources and regulations, but obviously they weren't available when this was going on. They went on for 8 years. They made him fix his chimney into a standard that met standards, and that was it. I still got pictures here of the smoke. It looks like a house fire, if anybody wants to see them. The second one is 18 years, 3 written complaints from residents. I've been in touch with Oakville on a number of occasions, and it is not unusual to not get a lot of complaints of this nature, and when you do, very few end up with charges, because usually you can resolve them, and there's a few charges that are laid, and they've had great success in prosecution. I don't know where that came from. They don't even have this expensive equipment. They don't use that. All they use is cameras and video recorders. That's all they use. That's all you need to prove nuisance smoke. In this case, I don't know what happened. I really don't. It went on for 8 years.
I think everybody, well, people that's been around know how long it went on.
Yeah.
Being a police officer at the time should have known that.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is simply you have two neighbors, and it bothered the neighbor that never bothered nobody else.
Well,
this is what transpired.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, I got a petition signed by about 30 neighbors that was used in the civil proceeding, that they were more or less being affected by the smoke to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
They signed a petition. Now, the thing is all I'm looking at is, I'm not looking at heavy enforcement or anything like that. If we ever have another situation like this, what are we gonna do? How will you handle it, if you don't mind me asking?
Sure, that's you will respond. That's what he's there for.
Basically, if the installation was not installed in accordance with the Ontario Building Code, measures would be taken, as were taken in the instance that you have described, to ensure that the appliance and the chimney is in accordance with the Ontario Building Code, and the complainants would be advised to contact the Ministry of the Environment with respect to the emissions.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I spoke to the Ministry of Environment this morning, and they said they would never touch this with a 10-foot pole, and that it's been dumped on municipalities and they really, really push the fact that we should be regulating these things with a bylaw. It's simple. Like, I've talked to Oakville, and it's just a simple bylaw, but they cover numerous nuisances. All we wanted to do was cover emissions of this nature. I wouldn't even expect to buy the equipment, because I think most of them could be resolved, or like, I did a lot more research after all this stuff, and it's not a big deal. Like, it's not, you're not crucifying people, you're not changing their way of life. It's simple.
Councilor David, then this looks like you're going to be talking about this thing forever. Go ahead.
I suppose, I was looking at the expenses, and it may or may not be that. I did certainly go on the website and looked at how you have to do the testing. And it looks like, to be able to measure the particulates in the air, you almost have to be standing there with your coder to be able to determine how thick that smoke is. And it's, if it's not certain daylight, if the sun's not shining in a certain kind of way, and if it's nighttime, you can't do it. So it sounds like it is complex, and I totally appreciate, I mean, being a healthcare provider, I totally appreciate the importance of clean lungs, damaging our air, but this doesn't seem to be what we're dealing with. What we're really dealing with, in my view, is people who are burning things that they shouldn't be burning. Not dry wood, not the wood that we're supposed to be bringing, but it's garbage or whatever, and or nuisance or vexatious behaviors. I would first rather see a really good educational program, because I think 90% of people want to be able to do the right thing. Some people may or may not know what it is they should be burning. And I think if we can rule those out first and say, you know, folks, play nice. This is what you should be burning. This is definitely what should never, ever go into your fire. Go with that first. See what happens. We know, we know that most of the stoves now, to be able to get house insurance, you have to have the proper stove, or you're not going to get covered. So we know that part should be covered, and those that aren't, may be able to audit where those are. But I think first we should do a good educational program about what you should be burning, what you absolutely must not be burning, and see if it would be a lot less expensive to do that, and it would be possibly proactive.
Councilor Puget?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I know that you're one, and you correctly say that Amherstburg likes to lead the way. And secondhand smoke is dangerous to one's health. It doesn't have to be smoke from plastic or from rubber or wet or unseasoned wood or waste oil paint or paint solvents. It's secondhand smoke is dangerous to people's health. And what I fear that this bylaw does is it really puts the onus on the owner to pursue the matter in civil court. And also that it has to be numerous complaints before anything can be done for the homeowner. And in an area where there might be only two homes and it's just one homeowner that's affected by it, they really don't have anything else to fall back on other than to proceed to civil court. And I just think that, you know, we really have to take a really close look at this. I think education is definitely a key factor. But I would also like to see, you know, yet proceed, and maybe we could go back and take a look at the Oakville bylaw and see if that one, you know, would be something that we could use as a council, because right now it appears that this smoke bylaw is set up to fail.
Councilor, Steve, you want to respond at this time?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. With respect to the Oakville bylaw, I spoke with the chief building official in the town of Oakville. They have never had a successful prosecution of their nuisance bylaw with respect to smoke. They don't use it for smoke. They've used it for, I think they used it for nuisance lighting and illumination. They have not used it with respect to smoke. I don't know who Councillor DePasquale spoke to. I'd love to talk to that person, because I spoke to the people in the chief building official's department who is in charge of bylaw enforcement, and that's what they told me.
I think we could talk about this all night. I think what we got to try and do is how can we get resolved, and how can you implement something, and then of course monitor and then make sure that it's being adhered to. That's what the discussion is going to have to start taking place relative there too. Councilman DePasquale.
Yeah, this bylaw had 100, in the last 6 years, they had 181 complaints, and there were only 9 that were prosecuted. There were only 9 that were prosecuted, and that's not just smoke, that's any nuisance. So these, like I said, these complaints aren't going to come all the time. In this case, like I said, if it happens again, I'm afraid we're going to be in the same boat, and that's why I'd like to see a nuisance smoke bylaw. Similar to Oakville. I've been told, and I'll give you the guy's name, Steve, you can call him and talk to him. I spoke to him today, as a matter of fact. And, you know, what do we do? It happens again. It's up to council. I mean, I'm just trying to kind of give you some insight.
With council's pleasure, relative. Please, go ahead, Steve.
Just to give you some statistics, in the past 5 years, we've issued 1 permit for a wood stove. And probably in the past 10 years, in new houses, just a handful of fireplaces, maybe 3 or 4, within the municipality in new construction.
Yes, Councilor.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Through you to Steve. Steve, is it possible that they can, after they get their building permit or whatever, that they can go in and put this stove in without permission, without our knowledge?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, people can do anything without our knowledge within their own houses. We find illegal building 3 or 4 occasions every month. But as Councillor Davies indicated, insurance companies now are requiring every installation, whether it be 20 years old or 1 month old, to be inspected by an inspector certified with WETT, which is the Wood Energy Transfer Technology Group. They will not insure your house if it does not meet those requirements. They document in an existing installation, they will make recommendations. If those recommendations are not followed, or if they are changed after they leave, if there is an incident with respect to a fire from that installation, they will not cover the damages. Pretty well every insurance company is doing that. And with respect to new installations, I require a WETT certificate for every installation as well. Every wood appliance now comes with a guide which tells them what kind of material to burn. The trend in some of the areas is a wood pellet stove, which you can't burn anything other than wood pellets. It has a blower in it. And also a lot of people in the rural areas are going to a corn type stove. But as I said, I have very few permits issued for wood stoves, actually within the last 18 years.
With council's pleasure, Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think there's 2 questions that we as council will have to ask ourselves. First of which is, what exactly are we trying to govern? When it comes to nuisance smoke, I've had all kinds of questions from people who are asking me, are we talking about the farmer who wants to clean up his brush and burn that on a Saturday afternoon in a controlled burn? Are we talking about the people who make use of Jellystone Park and have their open fires for cooking and campfires around there all evening? Are we speaking of the residential neighborhoods where people will fire up a chimenea that's sold locally and roast a couple of hot dogs or marshmallows? What exactly is nuisance smoke? And then how are we going to govern that if we put all that into a bylaw? The bylaw, as it's written, clearly just governs wood fuel burning stoves and the particular materials that you can burn in that, and it doesn't currently cover that. And I think if we're gonna expand it, we better make sure what we're talking about, so that's clearly stated to the public, and we better be clear about how we plan on enforcing it as well. And that being said, I'm just going to move that we receive the report.
There's a motion to receive it. There's support for that motion. Councilor Davies supports that motion. Further discussion on that motion? Hearing none, go ahead.
I think what Mr. Mayor, Councilor Sutton was suggesting is, I think this bylaw that is being being discussed now is for internal stoves only. The fires that is outside of that description, that is the fire department's jurisdiction. So it's two different issues.
On the motion. On the motion, go ahead.
I got just a question.
On this motion now.
Well,
this is a motion on the floor, so if you got a discussion, it's a discussion, Councilor DePasquale, on the motion that's before us.
Can you read the motion again?
Sure.
What is it? Receive?
The council received the report.
Okay. That's
a
motion.
We'll
receive the report.
Yeah, that's the motion.
I have nothing else.
Okay. Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Just a point of clarification then, if we receive this motion, could we ask Steve to go back to Oakville to investigate whether or not what Councilor...
That motion doesn't do it. You'd have to put another motion on the floor.
And we could still do that with this.
You can do it if you wanted to, sure. You supported the motion before us is to receive. Now, if you want to introduce another motion at the appropriate time to give direction to our chief building official, you certainly can do that. On the motion to receive, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Okay. You can do it now or you can do it under new business, whatever you want to do.
Can I do it now, Mr. Mayor?
You can if you want.
Okay. I'd like to put forth another motion dealing with this nuisance smoke issue bylaw, that we direct our administration to contact Oakville once again and see exactly what they've done and to see if it's worthwhile pursuing their bylaw.
Okay, that is supported for that motion. Councilor Puget supports that motion. There's been plenty of discussion relative thereto. Councilor Pino.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. But I think when we dealt with this a few meetings ago, that's exactly what our motion was.
There's a lot of
to have discussion with Oakville.
There's been a lot of new stuff.
So
you'll have an opportunity to vote on the motion.
I'm just going to speak a little bit to this motion because this is quite a complex issue that you're talking about. You know, it's my opinion, what I think, it's what's being burnt in these fireplaces. It's the substance. And that's what I think we need to look at.
Well, Councilor Davies had made that suggestion when he said, let's be proactive and then have an education on what you should be doing.
Well, I think we need to maybe have some type of bylaw that if Steve gets a complaint and he's got to be able to be able to enter the house and see what they're burning. That's basically what he's got to be able to do.
On this motion.
So,
on this motion we have.
On this motion is talking about smoke. I know.
It's talking about giving direction to administration to contact Oakville again. On the motion, all in favor? All in favor of the motion. Opposed? Motion is carried. Next item.
Reports under Engineering and Infrastructure, 12.1 Smith Industrial Drive Water Main Installation Tender Results.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Excuse me. I'll move the report by Luz Erlinga dated of September 13th regarding the Smith Industrial Drive Water Main Installation Tender Results and recommendations be received. And further, the Council approved the consulting engineer's recommendation to award the contract to the lowest bidder, being Demore Construction 2000 Limited, from the amount of $106,883 plus HST for the Smith Industrial Drive Water Main Installation Project.
There is support for that. Councilor Pelon supports that motion. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Motion is carried unanimously.
Item 12.2, water main installation on Lowe's Side Road from Sandwich to Fryer and on Fryer Street from Lowe's to McCurdy, tender results.
Councilor Sutton?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move that report be received and move the recommendation as well.
There's support for that motion. Councilor Pilon supports that motion. Further discussions? If not, all in favor? Again, motion is carried unanimously.
12.3, Edgewater Sewage Lagoon System, Ministry of the Environment, Research, Study, Monitoring, and Evaluation of Municipal Sewage Lagoons and Source Loadings to the Great Lakes Basin.
Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the report by Lou Zarlinga dated September 10th regarding the Edgewater Sewage Lagoon System, Ministry of Environment, Research, Study, Monitoring, and Evaluation of Municipal Sewage Lagoons source loadings to the Great Lakes Basin be received, and further that council accept the administration's recommendation to participate in this research study.
There's support for that motion. Deputy Mayor Sutherland. Discussion? Councilor Pinon.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Edgewater Lagoon, they will be closed in the near future, and when I first seen this request, I didn't know why we should actually be in it, but there's no cost to us, obviously. Aqua's going to do it, I guess, but it will be closed in the near future. Is that not correct, Lou?
That is correct, Mr. Mayor.
When you say the near future, are we talking 2014?
Technically, it is scheduled for 2014, but it will be another year or so, 2 years, and it's a good opportunity to take advantage of the study by Trent University.
Mm-hmm. Further discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously. Next item.
2012 surplus equipment to October 27th, auction designation of surplus equipment.
On the report, what's council's pleasure? Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
I move the report by Lou, dated September 13th, for the designation of surplus equipment be received, and concur with the recommendation.
We're supportive to that motion. Councilor Sutton supports that motion. Discussions? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously. Next item.
That brings us to reports under clerks. Item 16.2, Hussey request to purchase additional town lands right of way located between 153 and 163 Lakeside Drive.
Councilor DePasquale.
I move the report prepared by Brenda Percy, dated September 5th, 2012, regarding Hussey request to purchase town lands be received, and further the council deny the request to purchase town owned right of way located between 153 and 163 Lakeside Drive.
There's support for that motion. There's support for the motion. Councilor Puget. Discussion? Councilor Pilon, followed by Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I went down there and looked at that property today, and quite frankly, there was a bunch of tree branches and weeds growing up in an area. And along the shoreline, it looks pretty rough there. I don't see any value to us keeping it unless we have services. And that would be my question to Lou. Do we have any services along the front or on that property?
I think the thing
infrastructure, underground.
I think the other issue you would ask, is there a need for a right-of-way for us to use that included into the question?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, the town does not have any services within that property. There are services, mind you, along the roadway that abut the property. One of the reasons that we're recommending to keep it is that we the town, is losing access to the lake day in, day out. We don't know when we have to access the lake. That is one of the extreme southerly portions of the municipality. We don't have any other access, and we are recommending that the town keep it for emergency access to the lake. A couple of years ago, we did separate portions of that property and conveyed it to each abutting landowner. At that time, we kept a piece of property that's 66 feet wide, which could be turned into a road right away in the future if necessary.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
I'm fine.
Okay.
I'll withdraw my.
Councilor Davies.
I have not had an opportunity to go down and look at that property, but I do know that I get a number of complaints from people who say there's no more access to the water. It's very, very few places where that people can actually go down and access the water in our town. And it might be something that we, in the future, want to be able to look at so that people can do that.
On the motion, Councillor Pilon.
Thanks. That piece of property is about six doors from Holiday Beach, which has a mile of access to the water. Further down, further east, there is access to the water through a boat launch, which does belong to Lake Erie Country Club, I grant you that. But I think it would look better if it could be cleaned up and it's gonna have a proper break wall. Without a proper break wall, in due time, the water is gonna wash that out in there. Now, I guess it was in 07 they came back to you and you only sold them 7 feet on each side because you wanted to keep the road allowance. But my God, road to where? Road to Lake Erie? Like, you can't put a road there. It's just a vacant lot sitting there, and I totally agree with splitting it up. Number one, we can turn it into more taxes. Number two, we'll get it cleaned up. It will get the shoreline. They maybe want to do some preventive measures there so there's no erosion. I think we should look at disposing of it.
On the motion. Further discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor of the motion? Opposed? Motion is carried. Next item?
Consent reports. There are four items before council.
On the consent, Councillor Sutton.
Move that the consent reports be received as listed in items 1 through 4.
Is there a supporter for that? Deputy Mayor Sutherland. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
So, to speak on? Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Through you to Lou, regarding the West Nile virus update, it seemed like in 2002 we had 38 cases, and then it just seemed to really go down. And then in 2008, 2009, we had no cases, and then in 2012 we're up to 10. Is there any rhyme or reason to that? Is it just coincidence that?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, there is a reason. The last couple of years, the temperature has been extremely above normal, and also the rainfall last year was way above normal, so this has had a very definite increase on the West Nile virus and the carriers and the cases. The remedial measures that the health unit has taken is no different than the last 8 years, and the West Nile virus has made a very big approach again.
And I think it's important to understand is that when things are going good, right away the province then said we're going to back away from funding this because there's no need. And the health unit with Dr. Hyman, of course, representing Essex County and the people living therein, are certainly working with the various municipalities to make sure virus sighting, the testing, and all that is done in an effort to make sure that it, and in some areas, especially across the river, they've had significant outbreaks of this to the fact where they are even spraying. And so with our testing and our virus sighting we're doing, we're trying as best we can to keep it under control. And so that's important that we continue to petition the province to make sure that they are funding this because it's a very serious epidemic. Councillor Davies.
And I think to add to that also to make sure that we are doing our education earlier in the season so that people are turning water, you know, bird baths over,
sure,
emptying tires, emptying buckets, and because if people have their gardening equipment out, that is where the mosquitoes might catch when they can't get anywhere else. So that doesn't
sure. Okay. Yes.
And also, I just wanted to thank Christina for a very detailed report on the sponsorship agreement athletic club. I don't agree with some of it, but, you know, still, I still thank you for it.
Okay. Next item.
Consent correspondence. There are 5 items before council.
Councilor Sutton.
Move consent correspondence as listed in items 1 through 5 be received.
Supported by Councilor Pino. All in favor? Discussion?
Yes, please. If I may address item number 5, the Michael Woodcroft Award letter to Todd Hewitt. After he's been in Toronto or wherever it is that he goes to get that award, I wonder if it would be prudent for council to have him come to a council meeting and congratulate him publicly for his thing. Does that need a motion, or would you just do it?
No, we'll do it.
Thank you.
And the letter to that effect will be in his file.
Yeah,
also.
Good. Thank you. Appreciate that.
On the motion. All in favor? All in favor of the motion? Opposed? Motion is carried.
Consent other minutes. There are 3 sets before council.
What's your pleasure? Deputy Mayor Sutherland?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the 3 minutes be received as outlined.
Supported by Councilor Pino. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Motion is carried.
Correspondence item 20.1, Child Care Worker and Early Childhood Educator Appreciation Day.
Councilor Pouget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. That the correspondence from the Ontario Coalition for Better Child Care and the Canadian Union of Public Employees regarding Child Care Worker and Early Childhood Educator Appreciation Day be received, and further that council proclaim Wednesday, October 24th, 2012 as Child Care Worker and Early Childhood Educator Appreciation Day.
Very supportive for that. Anyone? Councilor David, you supported that, all right. Discussions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
Item 20.2, Restorative Justice Week 2012.
Again, with Council's pleasure relative to restorative justice. Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the correspondence Correctional Services of Canada regarding Restorative Justice Week 2012 be received, and further the council proclaim the week of November 18th of 25, 2012 as Restorative Justice Week 2012.
They're supportive for that. Councillor Davey supports that motion. Further dialogue? All in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Unfinished business?
Councillor Pilon, under unfinished business?
Yes, thanks, Mr. Mayor. Some time ago, the Traffic Committee made a recommendation to council, and council supported to reduce the traffic, the speed limit, not reduce it, but the speed limit on County Road 18, move it from in front of the 50 zone to back it up east to down almost to
on
the
County
bridge.
Road 18?
County Road 18, Pike Road.
Yep.
And council supported it, and I just wondered, actually, when we had our discussions, we were hoping it would have been done before the marathon, because now we do have our new excess way out of the park, so we'd like to get that speed limit done. I think it should be moved as soon as possible.
That's a county road.
That's a county road, yeah. Yes, so perhaps...
But
so make it.
Maybe, I think the reason why he never did it before the marathon, if they would have did it before the marathon, I think Councillor Sutton would have been caught for speeding.
I think Councillor Pouget's granddaughter would have been the one caught for speeding. She was way ahead of me.
But that's a good point.
But anyway, you give out.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Pete.
Sorry, if I may, Mr. Mayor. Conversations with the county prior to the installation of that road centered around that access being used for the marathon only at this point. There was some relationship between the decision on that speed limit change and the installation of that access, so that may have been the reason for the delay. They knew that it was going to be police controlled during the marathon.
but afterwards, perhaps they were going to address the speed limit change once the egress was installed. So I just wanted to make sure that was, everybody understood that.
Okay, thank you. There's nothing else under unfinished business? Any new business? Councilor Pilo?
I guess this could be unfinished or new, but I just remind everybody the steak barbecue this Saturday night at Goin Bark. Please get your tickets from the town. They have some here.
Okay. Notices of motion. Any notices of motion? Hearing none, that brings us to bylaws. You got a confirmatory bylaw?
Bylaw confirming proceedings of September 24th, 2012.
Councilor Sutton?
Thank you. I move that bylaw 2012-92 be read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same thereto.
Supported by Deputy Mayor Sutton. No further discussion. Councilor Peel.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, we got 4 minutes left. No. I'd like to maybe just discuss a little more on this one.
We haven't did the confirmatory bylaw.
No,
you
want
to just keep going?
Yeah, well, 4 minutes. I think at quarter two, it'd be nice to finish right at quarter two.
On the motion. All in favor? Opposed? It's carried. What's your pleasure as it relates to adjournment?
I'll move to adjourn.
Move supported by Councilor Pilon. Councilor Pilon, you have to see somebody now, please.
I don't have 4 minutes yet.